Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible, and today we're in the second chapter of Leviticus. Let's ask the Lord to anoint chapter 2 of Leviticus. Father God, we thank you for teaching us the things that you approve of, the things that you don't approve of, the things that are holy and clean, and the things that are unholy. Otherwise, we don't know how to please you. Lord, you created us in your own image and likeness, and you did that because you wanted us to represent yourself here on the earth that you manufactured. You want us to represent you on earth today. And the only way that we can be reinstated to be able to communicate with you is to have you, the whole triune God, living in us. And we have to believe on the Word in order for that to happen. Jesus is the Word of God. And there's not three gods, there's just you in Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The all three are one. And so therefore, all of you are living in us. And you are not just a faraway God, but you're a Father to us. You're our Father. Because you've begotten us to you by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, so it behooves us, it's very important for us to know your laws, the things that you like, in order for us to keep you happy during the course of time. Now, in the Old Testament, you had burnt offerings, and the priests had to keep themselves holy because they were feeding you. These burnt offerings were food for you, Father, to smell, to inhale. And we are to be consumed by you, to let you, to be food for you. You are our food, and we are your food. We are like the symbolic of the burnt offerings. Christ, the human body, and our human bodies are your living place. We are the temple of God. So, Lord, feed us this day your daily bread, which is the Word of God. We're talking about grain offerings. We're reading about the grain offerings in your Word, which is bread is made out of grain, and this is symbolic of you. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise, the thanks, and all the glory for giving us enough power and strength and in the Spirit to stay steady in you one day at a time. Well, we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go.
Leviticus chapter 2, the procedures for the grain offering. King James Version, verse 1. And when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon.
All this is symbolic of the Holy Spirit and how sweet it is for the Spirit to be in us because we have inner strength to continue on in the Lord. And he requires for us to do that one day at a time. You see, if we think of it more than one day at a time, we might get discouraged. And why should we be discouraged? Because when in reality we might not be around tomorrow, so why should we worry about tomorrow? Amen?
Amen.
Now, there's a lot of things that I've got planned for tomorrow and the next day, and I've got, you know, I want to put a baptistry into the church in Los Angeles, and I'm planning it. But who knows? I might not be around tomorrow, so I just want to make sure I stand today. Amen?
Yeah.
Sufficient is the evil of this day. And tomorrow, that's another story. Maybe tomorrow will never come for some of us. Amen?
Yeah.
And so let's just, be thankful for what we have today. Amen?
Amen.
Don't worry about tomorrow or, if we're going to have food and clothing tomorrow and for the next season. God provides. Amen?
Amen.
And if we just seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, then all things will be added unto us. We don't have to worry about those things. We have food to eat today, don't we?
Yes.
Okay, we have a roof over our head. Amen?
Yes.
If we don't, we still have him. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, so let's go.
And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons the priests, and he shall take thereout his handful of the flour thereof, and of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar.
Yes, food for the Lord. You know, the priesthood of Aaron was strictly from Aaron and his descendants. But if any of them were defiled, they couldn't. If one of them was blind or halt, or if they had scabs on them or some kind of an open sore, if they couldn't see good, if they weren't perfect, if they had some impediment in their body, they could not. Even the relatives, the descendants of Aaron, could not be a priest. They couldn't. They could eat the food that was left over for the burnt offerings, but they could not. They could not feed the Lord or send up burnt offerings to Him. Okay. They could be fed by the Lord, but they, and see, now it's all an inward thing. The Lord doesn't care how you look on the outside, as long as on the outside you're doing the things. As long as your spirit is compelling your outside body, the body, to do the things that the Lord says. It isn't beauty or anything that we should behold, people should behold us as being beautiful or anything, because a lot of those kind of people are not of the Lord. But like the Apostle Paul was almost blind. He brags about, look at this, I wrote a letter with big letters because I can't see that good, is what he was saying. And he said, you people loved me so much at one time when I was giving you the food of life, the bread of life, that you people would have actually taken your eyes out of your head and given them to me. That's how much you really cared for me. But at that time, they didn't care that much. He said, because the better I treat you, the less you're going to love me. And that's just the way it is. And I've noticed that down through the years. When people first get saved, oh, they just love you so much. They do anything for you. And the reason that he said that they would take their very eyeballs out of their head and put them in his, because he was almost blind. Okay? And he said he sought the Lord three times on that to heal his eyes, and the Lord said, my grace, my power is sufficient in you. You don't need any more of your senses to serve me than what you have. You just need me on a daily basis, is what the Lord was saying. So I thank God for that Paul couldn't see that good, because it was a blessing to him. Amen? Mm-hmm. And I thank God that that's the way it is with me. Because when I would see people, maybe there's things that I would have probably done if I could see as good as most people do. Like when I was in going to courts on these false charges, if I saw people giving me a mean look or something like that, especially when I was a baby Christian, I probably would have went over there and twisted their nose. You know? And so people just think I have such tolerance, you know, because I don't see them, you know, going with their thumb, you know, at me, or giving me dirty stares. And I actually went up to four of the police officers that were lying like dogs against me in the courtroom on the witnessing stand, and we went down, they broke for lunch, and we went downstairs where there were some vending machines. And I didn't have any change, so without asking Sue, I just got up and walked over to a table and asked these guys if they had any change for a $10 bill or $5. And they all looked at me like I was kind of crazy, you know. And they just were shaking their heads no. And I went over to the table and said, Tony, you nutcase, those are the cops that are lying about you. And he said, ask me before you go over to somebody's table like that. She says, man, they think you're nuts, or they think that you're just taunting them, you know. I says, I didn't even know who they were. She said, I know it. And she says, don't look over this direction. I says, why? She says, we were sitting in the Brown Derby, and she said, in the restaurant part, and she says, because that woman over there thinks you're flirting with you and you can't even see her. She says, look over, you know, over this way. And, I mean, people just get the idea that you're looking at them or something, and I can't even see them. I've got very bad vision. I'm actually legally blind, okay? And It's just a funny thing, you know, with eyes. But it's been a very big blessing to me. A very big blessing. All right, so let's go on. It's good to tell little stories about the past, amen? Kind of enlivens it a little bit more. Brings it to reality. Okay, what else?
The priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord.
It's sweet savor to the Lord because he's eating. It's something savory, you're eating it, right?
Yes.
They're feeding the Lord, okay? Well, he doesn't need it, but it's like a pleasant something that he loves, he enjoys to eat. It's like food to him. To him, that's food, okay? To us, food is like food, amen?
Mm-hmm.
But the sacrifice, us as a sacrifice to the Lord, for him to consume, to use our lives, that's food to him, okay? For him to enjoy, it's a sweet savor. And this is symbolic of it. He knows the end at the time of the beginning, so he knew that there would be some of us that would be sweet-smelling savors to him when after Jesus came and died on the cross and lived a perfect life and then rose and came, went up to heaven and became the Holy Spirit, the triune God, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and then descended into the first of us of his body on the day of Pentecost, and that was the beginning of his body, the church, on the day of Pentecost, and the New Jerusalem, and his bride. And we're part of that. And that's a blessing, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, let's go.
And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons.
See, it can go to his sons, even if they're defective, they're descendants, but not all of them can minister if they have any physical defects. Just, and that's the same as to say, you can't minister unto the Lord in these days if there's any spiritual defects. You have to be holy, you must be perfect, all right, in order to minister to the Lord and for him to communicate with you. There can't be any sin on you. All those impediments were just symbolic in those days of sin, all right? Okay, so now we got a blind Paul. And before that, a bald Elisha, you know. And another one, Jacob, has got, his thighs all jacked up, you know. And there's all kinds of things like that. But in the New Testament, there's all kinds of blind people, but the Lord heals them. Amen?
Amen.
People that can't walk, and he can heal them. So he could have done that in the Old Testament, but he didn't. He wanted you to observe and to pay attention, and it was all symbolic of that, the spiritual things that were to come. Okay, then what?
It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire.
Okay, no. Translation.
Translation, verse 1 through 3. The procedures for the grain offering. Quote, when you bring a grain offering to the Lord, the offering must consist of choice flour. You are to pour olive oil on it and sprinkle it with incense. Bring this offering to one of Aaron's sons, and he will take a handful of the flour mixed with olive oil, together with all the incense, and burn this token portion on the altar pyre. It is an offering made by fire, very pleasing to the Lord. The rest of the flour will be given to Aaron and his sons. It will be considered a most holy part of the offerings given to the Lord by fire.
All right, now, the Lord said we must eat his flesh and drink his blood. That means we must do what he says, let ourselves be consumed with that which he has told us to do. Read his word and do what he says. Drink the cup, or do the job, whatever, if they say, can we drink this cup that you've drank? Yes, we can. In other words, can we do all the things that you've commanded us to do? Yes, we can. Do you want to drink the cup of death? Susie saw a vision before she died, and the Lord held out a cup and said, will you drink this cup as a testimony? So you'll die, and then I'll raise you up from the dead. And she said, I will more than gladly do that. And so she took the cup from his hand and drank it. She says, Tony, she says, I will. She says, when the Lord said that, I was so happy to be used that way. That's, to me, death is like to be with the Lord. She says, I don't, it doesn't bother me at all. And she says, you saw the Lord, and you know how bad you want to be with him. She said, the only problem would be about coming back, but I'll gladly do it for the Lord. Okay? All right then, Mark. Now, she said, it's going to be a long time. It's going to be quite a while, she said. And it has been 22 years already. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 4. And if thou bring an oblation of a meat offering, bacon in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil.
And that's what we are. We are without sin. We're like wafers for the Lord to consume. Consuming means he wants to use our lives, okay? He wants us to be totally consumed with him, and he is totally consumed with us then. He is our God, and we are his people. And then a work of God can be done. We have to be just like him, so far as holiness is concerned, in order for us to be representing him in this world to the world, the people of the world. And for us to be able to enter into heaven, and nobody has a chance to enter into the kingdom of heaven unless we're consuming him completely and he's consuming us. It's a split deal. Amen?
Amen.
It's a split sacrifice. It has to be. We have to make a covenant with God, and he makes a covenant with us. We make promises to him, he makes promises to us. If we want him to be our God, then we must be his people. Okay, and there can't be any of us alive, and there can't be anything of the Lord that's alive in order to raise from the dead. He has to be totally consumed with the work of the Father. He says, my will is to only do the will of the Father. Amen? That has to be our will too. Oh, we didn't know that. We thought it was just a hayride, you know, in the park or through the woods. No. No, 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 no. And that's why he wants you to count the cost. Because, you know, before you start out on the journey of godhood, because you do have to be perfect and holy. Well, you can't be. Well, you have to be. Okay? The false prophets say you can't be. The Lord says you must be. Okay, then go ahead. And I say it too. Okay, what else?
And if thy oblation be a meat offering, bacon in a pan, it shall be of fine flour, unleavened, mingled with oil. Thou shalt part it in pieces, and pour oil thereon.
Why, that's symbolic of a split deal. Let's make a deal. Draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. You turn your back on me, I'll turn my back on you. That's the way it is. Okay, then what?
It is a meat offering. And if thy oblation be a meat offering, bacon in the frying pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. And thou shalt bring the meat offering that is made of these things unto the Lord. And when it is presented unto the priest, he shall bring it unto the altar. And the priest shall take from the meat offering a memorial thereof, and shall burn it upon the altar. It is an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord.
Very savory unto the Lord, all these sacrifices. Anybody that sacrifices their life to the Lord, that's very well pleasing to him. Very tasty morsel. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else? So do you want to be a tasty morsel? If not, he'll spit you out of his mouth, he says in the book of Revelation. Amen?
Amen.
Ugh, you're like sour and ugly tasting. Phooey! Okay, what else?
And that which is left of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. No meat offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven.
Now there can't be any sin in the person that says that they're a sacrifice unto the Lord. Leaven is like unto sin. You have to be like totally holy, totally mortified, totally dead to this world and by the Spirit of God that lives in you. You can't do it on our own. None of us can. Amen?
Amen.
But we can surely do it with this power of God, because God's power is infinite. There's no end to it. And there's no excuse. You'll either do it or you'll die. Okay, then what?
No meat offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, for ye shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering of the Lord made by fire.
You can't burn leavening in a gas tank, and you can't have leavening in you and do a work for the Lord. This vehicle, this house of God, will not run with leaven, with sin, with false doctrine, with self in it. The Lord wants all of yourself to die, because you and I are nothing, okay? You may think you're something, but you are nothing. And you have to learn that lesson, or you will die. If you don't do it willingly, God will come down and make you do it. He'll make you die, and he'll put you in a grave. Now, the whole Old Testament tells you that. Okay, then what? And the New Testament as well. And then what?
As for the oblation of the first fruits, ye shall offer them unto the Lord, but they shall not be burnt on the altar for a sweet savor. And every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt.
Yeah, we have to, if you're a sacrifice, you have to have the spirit, the salt. You have to have the zeal. I mean, food that doesn't have salt in it is very bland, amen? People say salt is bad for you. I eat it like crazy. Okay? Jesus said salt is good. Amen?
Amen.
So I eat it. I don't care what the doctors say. I know what Dr. Jesus says. Amen?
Amen.
He's the best chef in the world. He says salt is good. I believe it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what? I can't eat. And so he says every offering to me has to have zip in it. Zip. Amen?
Amen.
Zeal. Salt. Okay? Some spice, you know, something that makes sense, something that makes the scriptures come alive, you know. All right, then what? Not to just blah blah blah, you know, but that, I mean, talk it, you know, believe it, feel it, feel the Lord, consume him, and let him consume you. Let people feel God's energy in you. It has to be with salt. Okay, I like to throw in some pepper once in a while too. Amen.
Amen.
Salt and pepper, and some oregano and everything. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, what else?
And every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering.
Yeah, the Lord wants salt. If you're going to be consumed by the Lord, he wants zeal. Amen. Okay, then what else?
With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. And if thou offer a meat offering of thy first fruits unto the Lord, thou shalt offer for the meat offering of thy first fruits green ears of corn dried by the fire, even corn beaten out of full ears. And thou shalt put oil upon it and lay frankincense thereon. It is a meat offering.
An offering of food to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Corn, it's like a grain, life-giving grain. All right, then you make, you ever eat cone bread, the bread of life. Amen?
Amen.
People survive on it. Okay, then what?
And the priest shall burn the memorial of it, part of the beaten corn thereof, and part of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Translation, verse 4 through 16. When you present some kind of baked bread as a grain offering, it must be made of choice flour, mixed with olive oil, but without any yeast. It may be presented in the form of cakes mixed with olive oil, or wafers spread with olive oil. If your grain offering is cooked on a griddle, it must be made of choice flour and olive oil.
Yes, because it represents also the Lord Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself for us. Now, he's the bread of life, amen?
Amen.
He's the light of the world, and so are we, if we are his body, if we let him have his way in and with us. Okay? If we let him live in us and work himself out of us. We have to let the Lord work himself into us and work himself out of us. That means we have to be broken. Okay? You have your own desires and fleshly concerns. Forget them. We have to, and if that makes you feel sad, a lot of times when I'm preaching the true gospel, I see sad faces, disappointed faces. They don't want to give their lives. They think they're so precious, you know, that there's something real precious in them. No, you're just deceived. Just like the devil. Okay, go ahead.
If your grain offering is cooked on a griddle, it must be made of choice flour and olive oil, and it must contain no yeast. Break it into pieces and pour oil on it. It is a kind of grain offering. If your offering is prepared in a pan, it also must be made of choice flour and olive oil. No matter how a grain offering has been prepared before being offered to the Lord, bring it to the priest, who will present it at the altar. The priest will take a token portion of the grain offering and burn it on the altar as an offering made by fire, and it will be very pleasing to the Lord. The rest of the grain offering will be given to Aaron and his sons as their food. It will be considered a most holy part of the offerings given to the Lord by fire. Do not use yeast in any of the grain offerings you present to the Lord, because no yeast or honey may be burned as an offering to the Lord by fire. You may add yeast and honey to the offerings presented at harvest time, but these must never be burned on the altar as an offering pleasing to the Lord. Season all your grain offerings with salt.
All right, now pleasing to the Lord. Well, it has to be a certain way. It doesn't please him. I have to, when I'm eating food, it has to be a certain way. It doesn't please me. How about you? Amen?
Amen.
They put too much of something in there or not enough. I mean, it's not pleasing. Amen?
Amen.
You'll eat it, maybe. But it doesn't really please you, right?
Right.
But the Lord's not that way. He is more discriminating with his taste buds. It has to be perfect. Amen?
Amen.
Pleasing. Okay, then what?
Season all your grain offerings with salt to remind you of God's covenant. Never forget to add salt to your grain offerings. If you present a grain offering to the Lord from the first portion of your harvest, bring kernels of new grain that have been roasted on a fire. Since it is a grain offering, put olive oil on it and sprinkle it with incense. The priests will take a token portion of the roasted grain mixed with olive oil, together with all the incense, and burn it as an offering given to the Lord by fire.
Okay, that was the last verse in the second chapter, the third book of the Old Testament, the third book of Moses, which there's five books, which is called the Torah. That's Leviticus 2, and now chapter 2, and now we have some commentaries.
2:1. Quote, when you bring a grain offering to the Lord, the offering must consist of choice flour. You are to pour olive oil on it and sprinkle it with incense. The wheat or grain is symbolic of Jesus being the bread of life, and that it was God that gave Jesus to the world, the manna. And therefore Christ, the bread of life, had to be burnt on the altar.
Right, and so that's also is why there's corn, because bread is made out of corn, cornbread. Amen?
Amen.
Corn pone. Down south, pone. Right, this is bread. Barley, you can make bread out of that. We even have 7-grain bread. Amen?
Amen.
And there's 10 and 12-grain bread. So bread could be made out of grain. So that's what the main thing is that he is the grain of life, the bread of life. Okay, then what?
He had to be crucified, killed, dead. So when anyone offers a grain offering to the Lord, it is meant to be also the different types of offerings, which all are symbolic of Christ. It teaches that everything in the created universe belongs to God. Everything was created by God, so therefore everything belongs to Him. The individual must take a portion of wheat that he has and salt it, which is symbolic of the zeal that is in Christ and everyone that is of Christ, and salt it apart as holy to the Lord, in recognition of Christ, the bread of life, and the divine blessing in God's creation. 2:2-16. Only a handful of the grain offering was burned. This means that only a few people shall enter the kingdom of heaven. For, quote, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it, unquote. The remainder of this wheat belongs to Aaron and his sons to eat, which is, verse 3, fine flour and oil were its main ingredients. Verse 2. And it could be cooked one of four ways, verses 4, 5, 7, and 14. Offering twice daily, it was a dictatory tribute to God that we receive Him as the bread of life, verse 9, and also served as income to the Levitical priesthood. Christ is our income. It foreshadowed the Christian's giving himself in daily sacrificial consecration to God, to Jesus Christ. We are as Jesus Christ. We are His body. See Romans 12:1-2, Hebrews 13:15-16. Romans 12:1-2. Quote, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hebrews 13:15-16. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Unquote. 2:1-14. The grain offering, because it is a type of Christ, the bread of life in us, who also sows the seeds of Christ into others, was to consist of fine flour of the first of the grain harvest, because the first grain is always the sweetest and the best. This is just the same as an animal sacrifice without defect. To be without defect was required for the other offerings, so the best of one's produce was to be offered here. Again, because it's symbolic of Jesus and His body. With this, God was reminding His people that He was worthy of more than just the leftovers. That's why I also tell people, if they're going to give something to God, give Him the best you've got. He deserved the best, because He is the best and suffered the most that they could offer. God wanted our undivided devotion. In becoming mature, we cannot entrust ourselves to God half-hearted, or 99% hearted, or 99 9/10% hearted. We need to give ourselves wholeheartedly over to Him, God and His plan. Chapter 2, verse 1-16. The grain offering, sometimes called the cereal or meal offering, is the only offering described here that does not involve a blood sacrifice. This offering was made up of the most common daily foods. It symbolized that the offerer, being fully matured, had surrendered his whole life to God in recognition of all that God had provided. This process of becoming fully mature often involves moving from an unhealthy overdependence on some substance or person to a healthy dependence on God. That kind of commitment involves giving not only of ourselves to God, the burnt offering, but also of the things of our everyday life, which is the grain offering.
All right, praise the Lord. That was Leviticus chapter 2. And there are good lessons, many good lessons in every one of these chapters. And you're supposed to keep thinking about them, meditating on them, thinking about them all day long. But keep looking up. And God bless you till chapter 3, which is going to probably be this evening. Praise the Lord. Amen.